The following audio is from All Saints Church. For more information about the church, please visit our website at allsaintsgb.org.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Leave it there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God, we thank you for your word, the story of your grace. I'm going to try to do my best Johnny Cash impersonation. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the ties that bind. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You know that song? The Man in Black, Johnny Cash. The legendary country singer wrote that song. Why did he write that song? He wrote it to his wife, Vivian, his first wife. His wife, who was all too familiar with life on the road as a country singer. She was concerned about him, about the temptations that he would face, like boozing and drugs and women on the road that faced her husband. And so Johnny Cash wrote that song to assure her of his faithfulness to walk the line, to not break the law and vows of their marriage covenant. You know the story? Sadly, the love letter of that song didn't match the eventual reality that would become of their marriage. Johnny would end up drinking a whole lot, end up using a lot of drugs, and end up having an affair with one of his singers he shared the stage with, June Carter. What happened to his song? What happened to that narrow line of faithfulness that he was promising to walk to Vivian? My guess is, like all of us in our experience of sin, Johnny started to move the line, or widen the line, or edit the line, or maybe even erase some of the line. It's like the question young pre-married couples ask pastors in dealing with sexual temptation as they try to walk the line of purity before they get married. They ask the question, how far is too far? As soon as you're asking that question, guess what you're doing? You're trying to tamper with the line. Walking is the line. Walking the line is the phrase I'm going to use today to refer to keeping God's law. Walking the line. And the people of Israel, the primary audience of the Gospel of Matthew, they were given a task. Walk the line. Love the Lord your God with all that you are, and love the people around you like God has loved you. Walk the line. Show the world around you who God is in how you live, how you walk the line. And the law was also intended to preserve and protect God's people. Show God's care that as you walk the line, people could live then in a place filled with the character and the nature of a loving God. A place where people aren't killing each other. A place where people aren't sleeping around with one another. A place where people aren't lying to each other or cheating each other. It's a place where life would be valued, where people would be forgiven, where truth would be spoken, where justice would be fair, where considering others more important than yourself would be common. Walking the line is what the people of God were called to do. I want you, if you could this morning, to either physically draw a line on your worship guide or mentally draw a line. Just a simple straight line. We're going to use that line today to explain some things. Because like Johnny Cash on the road over time, we begin to change what that line looks like. Dick Lucas, who is a renowned preacher in England, describes all of Scripture being like a line. And if you think of Scripture being that like that line that you're imagining, What happens when you add more or you go above that line? Go above what Scripture says? Well, it's what happened to the Pharisees and the scribes. If you go above the line, legalism. Excessive and extremely making God's law a formula for his approval of you. This was the life of the Pharisees and the scribes. Stringent, letter of the law keeping, above the line, so that the rest of the religious world looked at them and said, wow, they are not only walking the line, they are like Simone Biles on the balance beam, like flipping over the line. Look at them. They're amazing. Look at their Sabbaths. Look what they do on Sunday. They do nothing. They don't even step 30 feet. Amazing legalism above the line. But what they were really doing, Jesus is here in Matthew 5 to expose. In their legalism, in their believing, they're living above the line. Jesus is telling them and telling the disciples where they were living was actually below the line. They were subtracting from the line God has established. And what happens when you do that to Scripture? What happens when you lower the line, when you omit things that the Word of God is absolutely crystal clear about? Not legalism, but liberalism. You make way too much wiggle room and self-inserted interpretations in what Scripture says walking the line is to look like. Liberalism. And that's what they were doing. They were taking liberty with the law of God. They were lowering the line. And the ultimate thing that was missing from their line was the primary reason God created this line at all, which was to display his love. The law is there to display God's love. And so Jesus, in this controversial, dividing line statement, says this in the beginning of this passage. Don't believe I've come to destroy the law. I have not come to destroy the law. I've come to fulfill the law. Jesus has come, he says, to give the true and complete definition to what the law of God was all about. Here's my proposition this morning. Jesus walked the line of God's love. And as his disciples, as those who follow after him, we are called to faithfully walk the line after him. The question I want to ask of this passage for us is this. How? How does Jesus walk the line of God's love? Two ways. First, Jesus walks the line of God's love with full perfection. And then secondly, Jesus walks the line of God's love with full correction. Perfection and correction. First, Jesus walked the line of God's love with full perfection. Let's look and begin with the first four verses that we have, Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Verse 17, Jesus says, this is my paraphrase, you can look on. Do not believe for a second that I came to throw out the law or the prophets. The law or the prophets would be what they understood to be their Bible, their Scripture. It's what a Jew would understand. That's all they had. They did not have the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, you're hearing words that I'm here to throw this out. Don't believe that for a second. I didn't come to throw the Bible out. I came to fulfill it. The word fulfill means to provide the complete meaning to the Old Testament. The fullest meaning of it you're going to see in Jesus. And Jesus says, it's not only all the chapters and all the pages. It's not only all the phrases and the words. He says in verse 18, it's all the tiniest little letters and the little dots of an I and the cross of the T that I'm going to show you is me. I am the living law, he says. If the law of God walking the line is supposed to reveal who God is, then what is Jesus saying here? I am God. I am that perfection before you. I keep in the lane as I've been driving with Cadence as he's working on getting his driver's license. I'm always about messing with him. I get so tired. I'm like, buddy, stay in the lane. Stay in the lane. You're a little to the left. You're a little right. Like, stay in the lane. Jesus is saying, I keep in the lane. I made the lane. And basically, I am the lane. That's what he's saying. And through the rest of these verses, how do we know that? Well, look how Jesus is using this phrase. He doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, like Moses did when he's talking and giving the law. What does Jesus say instead? 9 times in this passage. I say to you. Thus saith the Lord, is what he's saying. I am the living, breathing God giving you the law. And that's why verse 19 is so important to Jesus about walking the line perfectly. He says, if you relax even the smallest of the law's details, you are relaxing on the holy character of God. But if you pay attention and pay close watch and teach others on every single detail of God's character, then you will get the greatest picture of what the kingdom of heaven's going to look like. For I say to you, Jesus says in verse 20, unless your righteousness, your walking the line, exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. You guys got to understand, scribes and Pharisees, they were considered like the cream of the righteous crop. And he is saying, your walk in the line needs to be far greater than them. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Why not? Why can't we? Because you can't enter into a place of holy perfection without you yourself being wholly perfect. This verse, verse 20, along with verse 48, makes such a point clear. You must be perfect. You must be blameless, holy, as your heavenly Father is perfect, the fullness of blamelessness and holiness. That standard, friends, is way too high for us sinners. It is impossible unless that standard is the perfect Jesus. The full perfection of God's walking the line. The full standard of love. All the scriptures reveal Jesus, point him to be the perfect line walker. All of the scriptures reveal that. Don't add more to the scriptures than what that is revealing. I was looking for a photo on my phone, and I've had my phone, I don't know, like 8-9 years, so you accumulate a lot of photos over that course of time. And I was looking for a photo, and I was pinching the screen pinching it out to zoom out to see, or no, pinching in to zoom and see, like, where is this photo? When did I take this? In 2018, 19? I couldn't tell. But I pinched it way too far, and what happened was all my pictures ended up in one screen. Like, there were thousands of pictures. They became these little tiny dots displayed on a single screen. That's what Jesus is talking about who he is in the Old Testament. All of those little dots all throughout all of Scripture have been pinched. And what are you going to see when it becomes one screen? You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus in that one screen. You'll see his name. You'll see his face. You'll see his cross. You'll see his love. You'll see his perfection. And by Jesus saying, I am here to fulfill the law, I am here to be that one screen, he's drawing a line with what you have to do with him. You have to believe something about him. This guy is either crazy or he is Christ. There's no option here. Middle ground. So what do we do with the command then? At the end, it says, you disciples must be perfect as the Father is perfect. Well, remember that line we had. If we go above the line of scriptures, we become Pharisee legalists. You know what? I will try my darndest to do what it is I can do to live a perfect life, and you can never do it. Just look at the Old Testament and the picture of Israel. How do they do it displaying God's perfection? Page after failing page. But if we faithfully believe Jesus is our perfection, then what happens to us? We do begin to walk the line like him, after him, following after him. The church, friends, as we strive toward loving like we've been loved by God, we begin to become like little points on that photo collage of walking the line. Where a dark world can begin to see light through the church. Where a dying world can be preserved with salt through the church. Sinner, you cannot enter the kingdom of God without Jesus' perfection. That's the line we saints are called to walk. Jesus' perfection. If you lower that line, you will become the liberal who says, all roads lead to God, so I can do pretty much whatever I want. But raise yourself above that line, and you become the legalist who says, my road, my behavior, my right living will lead me to God. No. Walk the line of Jesus' perfection, and Jesus not only welcomes you to his perfect home that he's made for you, but he also displays the light of that home here on earth as it is in heaven through you. Jesus walked the line of God's love with full perfection. And that's the line we are called to walk, the line of Jesus. And Jesus also walks the line in full correction. This is why we have a bunch of verses, 21 to 47 in front of you. And I know it's a chunk of scripture. It could have been divided by topic week to week, but that's not how it preaches. It needs to be heard in one sitting. Why? I hope you felt it. I hope you felt the weight of God's correction as it was read. Because the Pharisees and scribes believed. They believed the lie that they were walking the line of God to a T, to perfection. Do you? Do you believe in different ways that you are walking the line of God's perfection? Are you the standard for this church here? Jesus' full correction tells them and us, we have lowered the line of God's love and law far too liberally. We believe we're walking the line when the line we've made for ourselves is far too low to reflect God's love and character. And so, he's got six illustrations here, six exhibits he gives here. Like a prosecuting attorney, Jesus presents, actually it's six, but I'll make them five today, five main exhibits as evidence of how far short those of us who think we're walking the line are in walking the line. And what do all five of these exhibits, these commands, have in common? They're all about relationship to neighbor. How we love those around us. You drew a line, but there's actually two lines. There's a love for God line that goes vertical, and then there's a love for neighbor that goes horizontal. Looks a lot like this cross. Your love for God will be evidenced in your love for one another. And he takes the walking of the line that has been lowered by the Pharisees and raises it for his disciples to its perfect place. The crimes that he talks about the Pharisees and the scribes committing, you would never think to charge against a Pharisee of their day. But Jesus does, and he gives such a clear picture of God's love in the law. So basically, if you can imagine this post, this line of horizontal love, where the Pharisees and scribes have it is down here on the floor. So it doesn't even look like a cross anymore. Exhibit A, committing murder. The deliberate slaughter of a human life, verse 21. You have heard it said, do not murder, and whoever commits murder is subject to the court of judgment. How has the murder bar been lowered? It's what you hear from anyone when you ask them if they believe they're a sinner or not. The legalist will say to you, well, I haven't killed anybody, right? I haven't killed anybody. But the liberal has lowered the line, and Jesus shows how. He says, you have killed somebody. Have you ever been angry towards somebody? You've killed somebody. Have you ever called somebody a horrible name? You've killed somebody. Have you even, just off your breath and off your tongue, said, oh, you idiot, to somebody who you're driving by? You're going to hell. The religious are getting away with murder. And Jesus gives correction. Foster life instead of death. That's raising the bar. That's what that command is all about. Be right with others. Be reconciled with others. Make things right between you and someone else. Don't take communion, God's picture of making right the relationship between God and man, if things aren't right between you and another man. Go make it right. And then come and profess what God's making right for you is all about. That's what he says. That law is all about God preserving life and making things right. And all you're saying is, I'm doing well walking the line because I haven't killed anybody. Exhibit B, committing adultery, being unfaithful to the one you have pledged yourself to. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. And the legalists believe they were walking the line fully because they've never slept with a woman they weren't married to. But Jesus comes with correction and he says, but I say to you, you undressed women with your eyes, adulterers, guilty. You have made divorce into an easy way out. And the way you did this was by writing a certificate. Even for the simplest of excuses, like your wife burning the toast that morning, you could write a certificate of divorce and send her out so that you can do what? You can now sleep with another woman of your choosing that you marry yourself to. It's another form of adultery. You're just sleeping around, but you're doing it legally. You're getting away with it and still believing you're walking the line. Jesus raises the line by marking faithfulness as a pursuit which involves extreme measures. Gouge out your eye if you're sinning instead of rotting in hell. That's extreme faithfulness. Remove your hand instead of receiving the curse of hell. That's extreme faithfulness. Friends, warning, Jesus isn't raising the line. He's not going above the line and being literal about cutting off your hand or gouging out your eye. No. He's using a word picture to talk about faithfulness. But Jesus is raising the line to what faithfulness, painstaking faithfulness, is all about. Exhibit C, breaking promises. You've heard it said, do not swear falsely, but keep your promises to the Lord. What has happened with the legalist? How are they thinking they're walking the line? Well, it's how they use their words. They're really sneaky and careful. Because they would never, a Pharisee would never dare say, I swear to God. But, like crossing fingers behind their back, they would say things like, I swear by heaven. Or I swear by earth, or I swear by Jerusalem, to give them an out for backing out on what they agreed to do. Be like a brother came up to me, hey, you promised you would pay me back by the end of the week. It's been like 3 weeks, you haven't paid me back. Oh, I never said I swear to God. I said I swear on my mother's grave, but I didn't say I swear to God. They still believe they're walking the line, and Jesus' correction involves raising the line by doing what? By lowering our word count. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. The enemy is so good at using more words to twist truth, so stay away from that. Let your words, even like Jesus before his accusers, friends, be few. Yes? No. Exhibit D, taking matters out of God's hands and into your own. Verse 38, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The heart of this law was to limit the amount of retribution someone would pay to somebody. If someone stole my cow, I'm not going to kill the man. But if someone gouged out my eye, his eye is what he has to pay. Keeping it fair and even and not going beyond it. But what has this law become to the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious? It has become an excuse to go after someone privately with revenge, to get even. You slapped me, I whack you. That's what it becomes. You hurt me, I can hurt you now. You see this in marriage all the time, don't you? With scorekeeping. You did this, I'm doing this. Jesus raises the line. What does he say? He says, don't resist the evildoer. When you get hit, give him your other cheek. Someone's suing you for your clothes, give him your coat. The Roman centurions, the officials, the army of the day, they could order anyone to carry something a mile's distance with just a command. Sam, hey, take this. You're taking this that way. Go. Jesus raises the line. They could only go a mile. That's all they could order them to go. Jesus raises the line. Walk two. God's love doesn't start with vengeance. Justice will eventually be served. His law and his love starts with mercy. Go and do likewise, Jesus corrects us. Show mercy instead of revenge. Exhibit E, the last one, lacking in God's love. Verse 43, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Up until this point, in all these you've heard it said, you could probably find an Old Testament equivalent. Except in those last three words, hate your enemy. There is no command in the Old Testament that says hate your enemy. Jesus is calling out preferential love. Loving those who love you. Being kind to those who are kind to you. Walking the line of God's love includes a love for enemy. Raising the bar, because it includes a love for each of us, sinners. Romans 5:8 and Romans 5:10 describe this and define the full measure, the full line of love in these words. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were yet still sinners, still enemies of God, Christ died for us. For while if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Walking the line of God's love as Jesus demonstrated perfectly on the cross, where his intersection lines of loving his father and then loving his neighbor met. It means we consider enemies objects of our love, not our wrath. Jesus corrects and commands us to add enemies to our prayer lists instead of our hit lists or our hate lists or our lawsuit lists. Learning to walk the line as those who are becoming children or sons of the Father, as verse 45 says, means demonstrating common grace to all, just as the rain falls on both those within the church and those outside the church. Common grace. Common grace to the heterosexual and to the homosexual. Common grace to the Democrat and to the Republican. Common grace to the white sheep of your family and the black one. This is walking the line of love, because this is the line of love Jesus walked in order to save you, enemy. Just last application. Faithfully, disciples, walking the line of Jesus' love, it's a two-step process, a twofold process of repentance, of daily repentance. The first step of repentance is pleading Jesus' holy perfection in light of all of our imperfection and sin. If you have sinned against God, if you see how you've fallen off the line, confess honestly and openly you're stumbling off the line with legalism or with liberalism. If you've sinned against someone, get out of here. Leave now. Go make it right with them, like Jesus made it right with you. If you have a pattern of sin, take extreme measures like Jesus did on the cross to put it to death. If you're an alcoholic, you avoid not only the bars, you also avoid the smell of beer. Take extreme measures. The first step of repentance also means quieting your defensiveness, letting your words be few, refusing to blame others for what is yours to own. Stop giving excuses to what is clearly your sin. That's the first step of the process, pleading Jesus' perfection. And the second step is starting to walk the line, taking up the cross, those lines. Instead of thinking of God's law, friends, as I do, I'm so guilty of this, thinking of God's law as don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, think of God's law as tasty butter to spread onto a toasted earth. Tasty butter to spread onto a toasted earth. Ask the Spirit of God to guide you into ways to see God's law as loving, and the keeping of God's law as something enjoyable rather than restrictive. Like Simone Biles, I guess, if you will. And flip around on that line and enjoy it. It's not just this restrictive thing. The Pharisees were miserable in their legalism because the law was so small to them. But the Christ follower liberates the law. We spread it like butter far and wide, asking yourself, where can God's law of love be extended to someone else? Thinking of the law as being about someone else, not just yourself. Do not murder means I'm going to spread across the world a life which breeds life and flourishing. That's what do not murder is all about. I can do that. Do not commit adultery means I'm going to spread across the world faithfulness. In my marriage, in my parenting, in my friendships, see faithfulness. Spreading the law and the love of God across the world. Thinking also of the law as, again, not just about you, but about the world knowing the God who lives in you. Because the alternative to this is just to keep to yourself, like the Pharisees did, like the scribes did. Isolate. Plateau yourselves above others. Live in this place where you believe you're keeping the law by basically not even encountering or dealing with anybody else. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer wisely writes, silence or nothingness in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Friends, there is a response to this being perfect as your Father is perfect. Yes, we plead Jesus' perfection. Yes, we have to walk in that perfection. But there's a maturity that goes with that perfection that is demanded of us disciples. And you'll see if you translate the Greek, those two perfects at the end are different. That first perfect is like a standard, an example, and a revealing. But the second perfect is a fullness, a fully perfect. We are striving toward that full perfection as God works to sanctify us. Johnny Cash's wife Vivian, near the end of Johnny's life, asked her ex-husband if she could write a book about her experience in being married to him. And the book was really a confessional to the world about who she was. What did she confess to the reader in the book? She confessed that she never, ever stopped loving her husband who was unfaithful to her. She never stopped loving this man who promised in a song to stay but eventually left her. She never stopped loving him. She remained faithful when he was not. You know what she titled the book? Ironically, she titled the book, I Walked the Line. I stayed faithful to this man that I loved, even when he didn't. Friends, may Jesus, who in his full perfection walked the line faithfully, may he be our perfection. And that same Jesus, as he corrects us and puts us back on the line with God, may he walk the line of God's love through us and in us. Because you're mine, Jesus, I can walk the line. Let's pray.